All right, guys, welcome to the third official podcast episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. My name is Daniel Keenis. This is Frank Todd. Did I just absolutely mess up the intro? Yeah.
But are we going to stop?
No, we don't stop. This is one take. I don't care. Yes, we've made like seven different takes right now, but this is one take.
Only five, guys.
Only five.
Okay.
Six.
Let's start from scratch again. U.S. Open preview. Recap. Let's go.
So my U.S. Open recap is that I don't think Federer was 100% healthy.
I agree. I think that Federer played a little below his game, but I still think even if Federer and Djokovic obviously weren't healthy, you can't take that away from Medvedev and Dimitrov. They played fantastic tennis, both of them.
Dimitrov had one of the luckiest draws I've ever seen in a major.
Nadal's was luckier.
Nadal's was luckier because like all the top 10 seeds lost. But Dimitrov played nobody in the inside the top 50 until he played Federer. And
you know what? But who was hurt? Even if he didn't play Federer when he was healthy, Dimitrov's coaching is what won him that match. He got coached the right way to play that match.
Yeah, he's not doing it out there by himself.
Yeah, no. Coaching would made a huge impact for both him and Medvedev, because even an unhealthy Djokovic should beat him. But Sam Wawrinka took advantage of it, which is why he didn't have to play him, and it was good tennis for him.
Well, Stan Wawrinka has a great record against Djokovic. He beat Djokovic in the finals of the U.S. Open. I would look up – I'm going to have to look that up pretty soon.
I don't care what records or anything. I will take Djokovic to beat anyone on tour right now any day.
No.
I mean, except if it's Nadal and clay, but
– I mean, Nadal and clay, yeah. Or I would say Federer on grass.
But I think Federer on grass even have trouble right now. He's just getting – I think Federer's biggest issue is Father Time's just catching up to him.
Roger Federer, this is – you know, we're going to transition to hot takes. I have two.
Wait, I want to do a little more U.S. Open preview first. We got some other things to talk about. All
right, fine. We'll keep going.
We got to talk about the women's draw first. We haven't even finished the men's draw.
That's
yet.
True. We could go hot takes and then women's draw.
No. We'll go back to that. I want to talk about coaching a little more with Alexander Zverev. The announcers during the ESPN broadcast were so annoying every time he was on the court, because they were like, oh, look at his brother Misha up there trying to give him coaching. Oh, look at Misha trying to tell him.
It's the same thing with Serena and Venus.
Yeah, but Venus is actually good.
Yeah.
Venus actually did something to her.
Misha Zverev.
Hot take. You know, I'm going to be the hottest thing of all this entire podcast right now. Misha is 10 years older than Alexander. Misha was a disappointment, so his parents had an extra baby 10 years later. Just going to get that out right now.
But possibly. I mean, because he would have. But he was a pro player. Like, he's not a total disappointment.
But he was terrible. He wasn't like it. His dad seems like the dad who needs, like, the champion kid so he has something to brag about.
Yeah. I get that.
And Misha was just never going to be that guy.
And then the Williams' dad had two.
Yeah, the Williams' dad is a great coach. But let's transition on. Anything else you want to say? Firm. Anything else you want to say about the men's draw before we move on to the women's?
We
should touch the finals. Let's see the finals. We didn't talk about that yet.
I thought the finals was a great match. That's it. That's all I can absolutely think about. Medvedev played so well. I thought for his first final, he played fantastic.
He came in with a great game plan, struggled with it a little bit in the first two sets, and then went his way in the next two, and he got himself in that match. The dude has no quit. He played his heart out, and I got a lot of respect for him this weekend.
I think the fact that he won Cincinnati a couple weeks before was huge. I think it gave him a lot of confidence, because he's gotten to – this has been his this has been his summer. He got to the finals of Washington and lost to Kyrgios. He got to the finals of Canada and lost to Nadal. He got to the finals of Cincinnati and won. And then he got to the finals of the U.S. Open. So instead of being ranked 12 or 13 where he was before, he's now ranked number 4.
He moved to number 4 now?
Yeah.
Good for him. I mean, hell, he could jump into the top 3 and maybe even win a major next year.
After next year's... I think Australian Open, he could easily be, because remember, there's still two Masters 1000s and the top four, the ATP finals. He could technically, if Federer stops playing, or if Federer like gives up the rest of the year, he's gonna give up a lot of points. Federer could drop to number 4 by the end of the year.
I agree. Do you think that he's a early favorite, or like an early top odd favorite to win Australian with how his hard court season ended?
Well, I think yes, but his odds are still about to be insane, because...
Ooh, yeah, but I'm talking about just top, like, he's usually not one of these top guys you think about, oh, he has a shot to win, or has a shot to win it. You gotta think after this, he's at least in the conversation.
Well, he's up. Well, you can't say that the four seed's not gonna be in the conversation.
I mean, let's be honest, Daniel. The last couple years after Murray retired, the four seed was never actually in this conversation. It was who was gonna win.
Who was the four seed after Murray retired?
It's been a whole bunch of guys. Team Rorinko's been in there. Nishikori's been in there. Hell, I think Del Potro's even in there at one point. Or yeah, close.
Delpo's played pretty well, kind of.
There's been so many guys up there. There's no, and you knew coming into the tournament, this guy doesn't actually have a shot to win this.
Yeah, but the fact that he got so far is kind of impressive.
True. I'm not taking anything away from him at all. These guys at all. There's just no one at the level of Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer yet.
Yeah. But I mean, we have to say on the women's side.
The women's side is always great. It's so even. It's fantastic.
The fact that Bianca Andreescu, who is, again, younger than us, won the tournament. We saw a girl turn into a woman yesterday.
She showed up against Serena.
She showed up. I think the most impressive part in that woman's match was that Bianca Andreescu was up 5-1 and then lost four games. The entire Arthur Ashe. Sorry, I'm old. The entire stadium was rooting against her. And she loses four games. She gets really stressed and basically picks up everything, picks up herself, and beats Serena those next two games. Was absolutely amazing. I think that was fantastic to watch.
She played great, great tennis. I was very impressed with her all tournament long. I was very impressed with a lot of people. I think that the women's tennis is very enjoyable right now because everyone is balanced. No one's dominating the game.
I think that's when tennis is really interesting.
Except for when Serena keeps losing in finals.
Serena's lost. Wait, so let's see. Serena
back-to-back U.S. Open finals.
Back-to-back U.S. Open finals.
Lost in Wimbledon.
Lost in Wimbledon. Lost on the Australian Open.
Yeah. That's four of the last five.
How'd she do in the French Open? She pulled out, right?
I don't remember.
She pulled out. Again, she was about to play Barty, I think.
But
still. Wait, did she also lose in the Wimbledon finals last year?
Oh, last year? I don't think so.
I think so.
Jeez. But you get the point we're trying to make, guys. She has really struggled in major finals lately.
Does Serena have a pressure problem?
I think this year it was the pressure from the whole debacle last year's US Open that got to her.
Yeah.
I
think it got to Naomi Osaka more.
Osaka's still the number one ranked player in the world.
I mean, yeah, but she still had a lot to prove.
She came out and won the next. She came out and won the next Australian Open. I don't think that's fair.
Okay, yeah, but like I'm saying, this tournament.
Oh yeah, but I think it was bigger for her in the Australian Open because it was right after that, and she came out and she laid everything on the table and won. She just had one bad match. I don't think that was the pressure. I think that was more on.
I think that was just Bencic playing really well.
Yeah.
But Bianca Andreescu. She's 19. She hits the ball like Serena. Is she the next Serena?
Canadian Serena Williams.
The North American Serena Williams duo.
Canadian Serena Williams.
Yeah. I think she definitely seems more like a hard court player, so I don't think she'd do fantastic. She won Indian Wells this year. She won the U.S. Open, and she won Canada.
So, Daniel, do a little quick change here, so we can talk about something besides Bianca Andreescu. You know what I watched just randomly because it was on ESPN before a match I wanted to watch this US Open? Mixed doubles. It's kind of fun.
Mixed doubles is really fun. Wait, Bethany Mack-Sands won, right?
I think so.
Yes, I do. She's my favorite tennis player of all time.
I mean,
Hey,
I'm sorry, I'm going to make a bad joke here because we like making jokes at this player, Daniel. How hard can it be to win a mixed doubles major? Jack Sock has won.
Yes, all right. Jack Sock is, in fact, a major champion.
Mixed doubles and men's doubles.
He was good back in the day. But, all right. So, that is the end of our U.S. Open preview. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think we covered everything we need to. It was a good season.
All right. Sweet. So before we get started today, I want to let you know that the Drop Produce podcast is on social media. That's right. You get to talk to me and Frank both via Instagram and Twitter.
I apologize. You have to deal with this more.
I'm sorry. Your week only just got better, guys. So our Instagram is Drop a Deuce Podcast, and our Twitter is Drop a Deuce Pod. So that is DropDeuce. And yes, I definitely have to spell that out because I have misspelled Deuce so many times in this past month. So yeah, we're on social media. That is where you will be able to talk to us, send us what you recommend us to talk about, any concerns, maybe how awesome we are. Either way, let us know. And that is Drop a Deuce Podcast on Instagram and Drop a Deuce Pod on Twitter.
Only send us nice things about how great we are at podcasting.
I have anxiety, guys, so...
If you're mean to me, I'm going to block you.
If you're mean to us, we will block you. We will kick you out. But if you follow us, we'll like follow back. So.
Okay, Daniel, let's get to some hot takes.
Guys, hot takes is my Christmas. This is what I've come to. Every week... I look forward to roasting Frank about his hot takes and then subsequently getting roasted back. So my first hot take is I'm naming us a Nick Kyrgios and Bethany Mattox Sands podcast. Bethany Mattox Sands is absolutely my favorite women's tennis player, hands down.
I'll accept that on the terms that we also get to be a podcast who makes fun of Jack Sock, because I used to love Jack Sock. And he disappointed the hell out of me, so now I want to make fun of him a lot.
All right, fine. I will let you know that. But I think we need a men's player to root for and a women's player to root for.
I agree. I just wanted an excuse to have you agree to roast Jack Sock with me constantly.
Okay, Jack Sock sucks.
Okay, well, that was a good hot take. Daniel, I'm going to give you a hot take here. Gregor Dimitrov is going to be back to being a top 10 player in the world.
Really?
I think he's back. I wasn't sold on him, and then I watched him play that semifinals match, and I'm like... Even though we lost, I just saw something in his game that I haven't seen since he was that top 5 player in the world.
He ended top 3, yeah.
Yeah, he used to be a top 5 player in the world, and then his game just took a huge drop off. And I just saw something in him again that says, I want to be back in this, I missed being this. And I think he's mentally there again. Not to mention he used to date Maria Sharapova, so he's... got a good game.
Did he used to date Maria?
I think so. Or was it Caroline Wozniak?
No, yeah. Oh, Dimitrov used to date Sharapova. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what I was talking about.
I think he said Jack Sock.
Jack Sock sucks. Here, ready for the hottest take in the world? Jack Sock will be a top 150 tennis player soon.
And he might have to win a match for that to happen. I think that's... Do you have any more hot takes?
We'll go back and forth. Do you have one right now? Something.
All right, I do have a hot take. Bianca Andreescu will win a career Grand Slam.
I could see that. She's just got... It all depends on her draw in Wimbledon and the French Open next year, and she can make runs in both of those. If she has to play someone she's a bad matchup against, it might hurt her because she's still only 20. She's going to be young and take advantage of her for the next couple of years.
Well, yeah, but hopefully she doesn't pull in, like, another Canadian that I know, you know, who did really well.
Bouchard. She was... Wow, she was awesome.
She was awesome. Yeah.
She was awesome.
She's kept her Nike sponsorship for a reason, guys. She's a very attractive woman.
Oh! I'm sorry, I just have a really hot take. You said Nike sponsorship. Not hot take, but another interesting take. No. Nike sponsorship.
Okay, back to Eugene Bouchard. I think we will never have a guest for the show, but my one dream guest would be Eugene Bouchard.
We're in Nick Kyrgios podcast. It should be Nick Kyrgios.
Well, didn't they hooked up, right?
Probably.
Yeah, no, they no, what it is Nick Kyrgios was having sex with Eugenie Bouchard, and then remember that he tripped and like hurt himself?
Yeah,
but you know what's going on now is Nick is currently hooking up with Eugenie Bouchard's sister.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios.
No, Nick Kyrgios basically, both Bouchard sisters are Eskimo brothers with Nick Kyrgios.
That is awesome. All right, we're going to do a new hot take. This is getting dangerous.
I like it. Danger is my middle name.
Ready for this? This is someone I just thought of. Completely random, who had a great season a year ago, but it's been hurt all year. Mackenzie McDonald.
You think he's going to be back in like the top 50?
Yes. I think he'd be back. I've watched my... Fun story. So I've watched Mackie play since the juniors because he's my brother's age.
Played at UCLA, right?
So yeah, my older brother used to always compete against him in the juniors. They'd have some good matches, and Mackie broke out a lot later, like broke out and started being a lot later when they're in the teens. But I think that Mackie has had what it takes for a long time. I think he's back.
I think he reminds me a lot of Diego Schwartzman.
Diego had a great tournament too. The one thing with Diego is if he could have just done this when he was younger, it'd be fantastic for him.
Yeah, now he's getting up to close to 30, right?
I looked it up. He's 27.
So close to 30.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left.
He's got 3 years until he reaches that. I think 30 is the biggest year for a tennis player.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, that's my. Do you have another hot take or do you?
My next hot take is. This U.S. Open was absolutely crazy. I think that the Australian Open next year is going to be even crazier. I think there are going to be even more upsets.
It's not even possible, Daniel. What, is the entire top 10 going to lose in the first round?
No. I'm going to say an Australian Open is when one of the three big three don't win.
And that leads into my next hot take. Medvedev's winning a major next year.
So we're going to find that union and say that Medvedev is winning the... Australian Open next year.
That's the hot take, and I'm sticking to it.
That's the hot take. All right, so this is a momentous occasion. This is our first joint hot take. We don't agree on much.
We're gonna do what's called a bad radio here. We're gonna high five.
Yep, and we just high five. That
was bad podcasting. All right,
I think all of this is bad podcasting.
This is all fantastic podcasting. Right. Who doesn't like hearing about Nick Kyrgios's love life?
I mean, yeah, that's why the trailer is 30 views.
Daniel, do you have any more hot takes or should we move on to the next one before we start boring our listeners more?
What listeners? All right, so we are going to start a new segment today. I know all of you are trembling with excitement. Frank, let's have a debate.
Daniel, let's have a debate.
Let's have a debate. This is the Drop a Debate. The Drop a Debate podcast.
No.
I just named it.
This is going to be our first debate. That name is terrible.
The name is fantastic.
Drop a Deuce Debates.
Drop a Deuce Bates.
Drop a Deuce Bates.
All right. I'm going to Drop a Deuce Debates. No, I don't like that.
Let's just get to the debate and somehow this one.
Sorry. So the first Drop a Debate, the first debate we're dropping. Oh. All right.
Two thumbs down, listeners. Fine. Two thumbs down.
I'm sorry. The first debate that we are dropping today is who is the best of all time? Yes, it's cheesy. Yes, we know this has been done every day on the internet. Are we entering this conversation? Yes, because Rafael Nadal is officially the best of all time.
Wrong. It's Roger Federer. You're just wrong.
And that was the debate.
And yeah, that's what we're debating, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. No, I think Rafa will, in fact, be the best of all time once both of them retire because he's going to have more majors than Roger Federer.
I don't think he will. I don't think he's going to win another one next year, at least.
He's at 19. You're saying that Rafael Nadal will not win the French Open. You think last year was the last French Open he's going
to
win?
I think I have a really hot take depending on the draw. I need to see the draw first for this, which is why I didn't say it. I don't think he's going to win next year. I finally think that Thiem's going to find a way to win the French Open.
After his third time.
After losing it two times before. He's going to find a way to beat Nadal in the finals.
He has to. He's the second best clay court player.
If he gets to play Nadal in the finals, he will win that match. He will find a way to win that match.
I think it's the same thing with Federer. His father time is coming next to him. I think Nadal plays such a more athletically strenuous game that it will...
I think that the issue you're going to have is, for why I don't think Nadal will retire with more, you're right, Nadal has played more strenuous. I think Nadal might retire before Federer. I think that Nadal's body is going to crap out before Federer's.
I think Nadal's is, I think it's fine. I think he's gone through a little bit more injuries in his career. I think Federer's injuries have mainly come from time.
I don't like saying this. I think Nadal's game is going to ending a career-ending injury in the next couple of years, because the issue is he's still playing like he's a 20-year-old, and on his body now, it's just not possible. And I think that he is going to hurt his knee a lot worse than he intends to with the way he plays.
Or his shoulder, honestly.
Yeah, I can just see him hurting on a I could see him slipping up on a clay slide and losing his footing.
I mean, I think Federer is done within the next year and a half. I think he plays the Olympics and then ends.
Federer's Tom Brady. He's going to think about retiring every year until he's like 87 and keep playing. Until Federer is not able to play at a high level in majors, he's going to keep playing. And you know what? Here's the thing that should scare everyone on tour. He's going to come out pissed off next year.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that because everyone's having the same conversation. We are, oh, he's old. Father Time's catching up to him. It's time for him to retire. I think Federer's about to come out and say, fuck you guys. I'm going to win this. I'm going to win all these fucking majors.
Ooh, that would be a good hot take. I'll save that for another time. I think Federer is, I think he's just doesn't have the stamina he used to. I think he should have beaten Dimitrov in three, and he didn't. He lost in five. I think Federer's only chance is that if he wins these really short matches, like the 2-2-0s or like the 2-1s and 2s. He's such an old body. Like, he's almost 40. Once you get to those 5-set matches, which are going to happen when, thanks to a lot of the big servers coming up. So instead of serving 110, 120, you're getting 130, 140. It's like the Rally Opelkas or the, Medvedevs. They're going to be coming, and I don't think Federer can handle them. I think it's going to be a Pete Sampras and Roger Federer scenario, is that the person to beat Federer at Wimbledon will take the throne.
But I don't I don't think that, because you know who's going to beat Federer at Wimbledon? Djokovic.
No, I'm saying early on. So that in the same way that Sampras lost to Federer, I think
Federer won't lose before semifinals of Wimbledon for at least 2 more years.
But you know what I'm saying? Then the person like
Federer, honestly, I think Federer could win on grass at least 50.
Yeah, I mean,
not literally 50.
I don't think he, like, probably
we're over exaggerating to make a point here. Yes.
Like 45.
Federer will win on grass for a long, long time.
But the thing is, Federer won't retire until he is until he's not playing at a consistent level.
You know why Federer here? You want to know why Federer's going to win? He's going to start using his strategy of the Nikkei, what I can call the Nikkei strategy. He's going to tank the first set, come out and win the next 3-6-0, 6-0, 6-0. It's genius.
Or he just starts serving and volleying a lot more.
Federer is going to keep tanking first sets like he did at Wimbledon in the US Open, because that's the only way I'm accepting that Lloyd Harris got a set off him.
What about Ranjit Sagal?
I forgot about Ranjit Sagal.
Ranjit Sagal.
But you get the point I'm trying to make.
You know, I've called to so many different podcasts. I want to get Ranjit Sagal as a host. Do you think we can get Ranjit Sagal as a host? Or not as a host, as a guest?
Let's DM him on Twitter.
How many Instagram followers does he have?
Guys, this is bad podcasting. Bad podcasting. I'm going to look this up. But give me a point about why you think Nadal is the GOAT, why you get this number.
And Nadal is the GOAT solely because he is going to have more Grand Slams. I feel like that's kind of why. I think he's definitely one of like the more likable. Federer is obviously like a charisma, like driven guy. But the reason why Novak Djokovic is not the best of all time is because he is so unlikable.
Yeah, Djokovic is. I hate Djokovic. But like, it's not Ranjit Sagal. It's Summit Nagal.
It's Summit Nagal. All right.
That didn't happen, guys. That was bad. That was really bad, Daniel. You should apologize.
No, I'm not apologizing. I forgot the name. I honestly thought it was Ranjit Sagal.
He's verified on Instagram with 24,000 followers.
Wait, let me see.
He's fucking verified on Instagram. All right. Federer's the GOAT because, one, he has more majors. Two, he'll end with more majors. Three, he was more dominant on all the surfaces for more of his career. Nadal's only dominated on clay.
Nadal has four U.S. Open titles.
Yeah, still has more than double that major in French. Nadal has not dominated in the Australian Open. He shows up for 2 majors a year. Great. Federer's played great in all 4 his entire career.
I mean, even the French Open. Federer hasn't won the French Open because of Nadal.
Federer's won the French Open. What are you talking about?
He hasn't won it multiple times.
Yes, but okay.
Okay, no, Federer. Okay, fine. Nadal is better than Federer because he has more than two titles at every Grand Slam. Federer only has one French Open title in like 2008, I think.
Okay, hang on here. Yeah, let's take a look at Nadal's breakdown, man. You want to see that? Let's go look at how many major. Let's go look at Nadal's breakdown.
He has 19. He has 12 French Opens. He has 4 U.S. Opens. He has 1 Australian Open, I think, and he has 2 Wimbledons.
Correct. So Federer has more majors total
by 1.
He has a lot more majors at Australian Open.
Not of right now. I'm going to say of all time. So this is. After this is in like 20 years, once both of them.
Yes, but we're gonna look at this. You want to talk about dominance? Federer's more balanced. Federer's more U.S. Opens and Australian Opens. If you take out the two surfaces they dominate at, grass and clay, since Federer has more, we just look at straight up on hard court. Federer has more majors still. You take out both their dominant surfaces.
I'd say. Then that's just comparing them on hard courts.
Yes, but I was talking about them being dominant year round, and to be fair to both, since they're better at the two middle majors, I took them both out.
There has to be an analyzation, I think, for average Grand Slam performance on a certain surface. So hard court would be 50%, grass is 25%.
Nadal's never won a tour finals. Federer's won 6.
I'm talking only Grand Slams. Andre Agassi.
The big tournament.
Andre Agassi won so many ATP 1000s, and nobody considers him the best of all time. Why? Because we only talk about Grand Slams.
Okay, the Tour Finals is still a bigger deal than an ATP 1000. Let's be honest here.
Barely. I think it's 1500 versus 1000 points. That just mainly shows how good you are against the best
guys. Taking it all to me to further doubles majors. I was going to see who...
Doubles majors. We don't talk about that.
I was looking at Wikipedia. Neither one's won one. Nadal's made it the furthest at a semifinals.
At the French?
No, at the US Open.
Oh.
And Federer's made it quarterfinals. But he's made it farther. I think he might have made it farther. Or no, he only made it the first round.
Nadal and Federer are both great... doubles players.
Federer won a gold medal in doubles.
Oh, with Wawrinka, right?
Yeah, in the 08 Beijing Games.
That's big time.
Federer's the guy. Won Nadal once gold in singles that year, so. But, okay.
All right.
Federer's the goat. Case closed.
Federer's the goat. No, he's not.
Federer's the goat.
Nadal's the goat.
All right, guys. That's the end of the debate. Federer's the goat.
All right, Frank. So we just finished the final major of the freaking decade.
Federer's the GOAT.
Federer is the GOAT. No, he's not. what are your predictions for the next decade?
Nick Kyrgios will win a major.
Nick Kyrgios is going to win a major, you think?
Gregor Dimitrov is going to win a major.
I give you 10 years of history, and you give me that Grigor and Nick Kyrgios are going to make a major. All right, so
those are hot takes for the next decade.
All right, so I'm gonna quick fire you with questions. All right,
bet.
Who is the next person to get to ten Grand Slams? So we are the three who have 15 and 20. Who is going to get to 10 Grand Slams on the men's side and the women's side?
Okay, I think it's gonna be Barty on the women's.
Barty's gonna get 10 Grand Slams. All right.
I think it'll be Barty or Andreescu. Those are my two picks.
I think Andreescu.
Those are my two picks. I think you could go either way. It just depends on who has a better... And I think both will win a hardcore major a year. It's going to depend on who has a better run on the clay and the grass. But for the men's, it's so tough because, to be honest, it could be someone we don't even know about yet. It could be one of these 16-year-olds who are playing in the U.S. Open because of Kalamazoo. Because if you think about it...
It could be Medvedev.
I don't think Medvedev's going to win 10 because I don't think he'll be able to beat Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal 10 times.
In the next 10 years, they're going to...
Yeah, but
they're going to be gone. But that's in like 5 years. That's like 5 years.
Let's say if they're retired in 5 years, someone won't win 10 majors total in the next decade, I think. I really think that it could be someone we don't know about yet, because we don't know when Federer, Djokovic, and Norman retire.
I think it's either Medvedev or Thiem. I think Thiem is going to be good on hard courts. He normally is.
Thiem will never win Wimbledon.
No, of course not.
He may never win a round in Wimbledon.
I don't think he ever has.
I think that if I had to pick someone, I'm going to give it to, I don't know. I think you're right with Medvedev. I'm trying to think of someone outside Medvedev and Thiem that could do it. And you know what? I'm going to give it to Tsitsipas.
Tsitsipas could be really... I think Tsitsipas and Medvedev is the rivalry of the future.
I think it's going to be Tsitsipas and anyone who plays tennis.
Yeah.
The two greatest rivalries in the history of tennis are going to be Tsitsipas, everyone who touches a racket, and Kyrgios and everybody who knows what the sport of tennis is.
And Kyrgios and his racket.
No, it's Kyrgios and anything involving tennis. So any fans, the umpires, the balls themselves, the courts, the rackets. Those are the two greatest rivalries in tennis.
The sky.
the line judge's chair. Those are going to be the two greatest rivalries.
That's such a bad way to end an episode.
This is a fantastic way to end the
episode. What else is there? Like the ball, the fuzz on the ball?
You get the point of making here. Yeah. Kyrgios is just going to hate everyone and everything and keep playing tennis. Because he can make so much money doing it.
Well, he gets the sponsorships.
Yeah, exactly. And he makes all the tournament money.
Well, he loses all the tournament money. He just keeps the sponsorships.
He makes enough of his sponsorships. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He's like Antonio Brown. He's in the NFL right now.
Eventually, we'll have to make this an all-sport podcast. But
no, we'll just keep making random sports references throughout the episode. It's more fun that way.
Yeah. We'll say it's a tennis podcast that dabbles in other sports.
And into Kyrgios' love. So on the women's side that we already talked about, that the next decade, there's going to be a lot of fun tournaments. A lot of fun.
All right.
I think, you know what? What if, here, let's play some fun futuristic games here. What if, like, let's say 50 years from now, when we're both in our 70s, they're trying to introduce a fifth major?
I think, all right, there probably will be a fifth major. I think in 50 years, Olympia Williams is going to be a Grand Slam champion.
But which surface would that fifth major be on? Would you do another
carpet?
Dude, what if they should do that? What if
they need an all-indoor major.
What if they made a new surface to play on?
Balloon?
Sand?
With sand tennis? Ice? I've always thought about ice tennis. Ice tennis would be fun.
Those Canadians would come dominate after skating ability.
No, yeah, then Bianca Andreescu gets like 30 Grand Slams because she keeps playing that until she loses.
Turf and carpet are like the same thing.
No, can you imagine sliding on carpet? That would be so hard.
Basketball court?
Football field? AstroTurf?
Well, that's turf grass.
No,
turf,
but no.
Turf
but,
and carpet are similar.
No, yeah, well, carpet, I was thinking like a rug.
Okay.
No, but I think, no, actually, an artificial grass Grand Slam would be really cool.
We spent way too much time on this, so we spent 30 seconds naming the stupidest things we can put a major on. Ready? Go. Wood.
It's in the jungle.
Grass. Sorry, sand.
On a city street.
In someone's apartment.
On someone's apartment.
In a sewer.
How about on water, right?
On water.
In the pool.
And ice. Last one. Go.
Count me down.
3, 2, 1.
In a library.
And that was stupidest surface you could put a major on.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. We will be back on our regular scheduled program. So you guys get technically 2 episodes of Drop a Deuce this week. Thank you for listening, and we will see you guys on Sunday.
Bye, listeners. Federer's the GOAT.